a very special guest with us, and it's a warm welcome to Dr. Kirsten Peterson, former head of performance psychology at the Australian Institute of Sport, the AIS, and with the US Olympic Committee. Kirsten now runs her own company, helping leaders, teams, and individuals to better manage their high performance moments. So firstly, welcome Dr. Peterson, and wonderful for us to be able to chat with you. And secondly, there's been plenty happening at the 2024 Paris Olympics: records, controversies, near misses, a magnificent opening ceremony, and much, much more. Are the games meeting expectations, though, of athletes, media, fans, and all those involved?
Wow. Some intro, Gordon.
No problems.
It's a pleasure to be here. And, you know, I don't know. I'm a citizen of two countries. I would have to say both our countries are killing it, and it is meeting expectations. But that's a very biased view on my part as a complete Olympics fan.
That certainly sounds absolutely wonderful there with your very kind setting and comments you've made. I suppose when we're talking about expectations in terms of the athletes, the media, the fans, the coaches, anyone else, it's really the pinnacle of sport, isn't it?
I would say there's pinnacle events for each sport. You might say world championships is pinnacle, but I do see this as like a double pinnacle in that sense of the cultural significance of it. You know, it used to be that countries would actually stop fighting wars during the Olympics, but I still think it does have a special place in people's hearts for reasons other than just sport. But, and then it's all those sports that are on that make it, you can't not watch TV while it's, because it, like, it's a 24/7 different sport news cycle. So, if you're into it, there's something for everyone here.
Well and truly. And talking about something for everyone, the Aussie performances to date, what's caught your eye?
Oh, gosh. Now you're going to catch me unaware because I'm just thinking of things I might have missed while I was out in physio class. But, I'm thinking of the high jumpers that we watched this morning. At least I don't know when it was on. And their wonderful sort of routines that they do to go. They didn't win gold, but they came in silver and bronze. There's just so much to note. So tell me where you want to go.
Oh, well, I think we'll just mention our 12 gold, 11 silver, and 8 bronze with 31 medals so far. And, of course, the United States setting the target with 71 medals so far. But certainly there's been some fantastic performances. And I suppose Jess Fox with 2 golds in the women's kayak single and the canoe slalom, now the most decorated Aussie in individual Olympic events in history. A fantastic performance by Jess Fox. So, Kirsten, how would our athletes and coaches, how would they have prepared for these Olympics instead of, say, maybe a world championship or another major international event or tournament? We spoke about, you said, double pinnacle, and that's a great word. How would our athletes and coaches prepared for these Olympics?
Well, in my mind, it's a two-prong approach. One is to acknowledge with eyes wide open all the things we started to talk about, this idea about it being special, and we want to normalize though any reactions you might have to that specialness. The once every 4 years piece, the significance of it, but at the same time, you also want to normalize the job that you have to do within that specialness. So we talk, or I talk anyway, around this idea of you go into the Olympics to be a full-throated participant in it. So you want to know that you can taste it, but you don't want to overeat it, if you get my drift. Because in addition to the specialness of it, you know, you might meet high-profile athletes walking around the village who you've never seen before, but only on TV. So there's these, we talk about anticipating all the ways in which it is different. So in that being another reason why it could be different. And literally months before visualizing how it's going to be. So you get the differences become normal. But then it's also about not, with the idea of dancing with what brung you. You know, you made the team for a reason. You're good at what you do. You don't go changing things up just because it's the Olympics. So there's that normal piece, but there's also tasting, but not overeating the abnormal, if you know what I mean.
Fantastic. Now, of course, so we've seen plenty of emotion, passion, tears of winning and joy. But Kirsten, how hard is it to accept defeat or loss at that top level? Can you prepare the athletes for that? Because it's the reality of life. Not everyone can win a medal or gain a place.
I would feel like I was doing a disservice to an athlete if I aided and abetted them thinking that they couldn't talk about the possibility of losing. I think that is doing a disservice. And it used to be that 20 years ago, for example, we were told by coaches, don't talk about what's going to happen after the games because you're going to jinx it, because they need to focus on the games. And I actually think there's something to say about eyes wide open to all the possibilities that are in front of you, and as I said, normalizing them so they don't have power over you. So it is, in my view, a mistake to aid and abet an athlete who says, I can't lose. Losing is impossible. I can't even think about it. For the reasons you just said, because odds are there's one winner. Most of the people, if gold is the only winning, are going to lose. And we want to know that we are okay if that happens, which does not, and people think, wow, if I accept that I might lose, I'm not going to try. No, that's not what we're saying. We hold those two truths together. One is, I will give my best and I may lose. The other is, that will not stop me from increasing every possibility I have at my disposal to increase my chances of winning. Does that make sense?
It certainly does, Kirsten. Well, listeners and Kirsten, we'll go to a short break and we'll be back very shortly to talk more about what's happening with our Olympics with Dr. Kirsten Peterson, former head of performance psychology at the Australian Institute of Sport and with the US Olympic Committee. Well, welcome back, listeners, as we continue our chat with Dr. Kirsten Peterson, former head of performance psychology at the AIS and with the US Olympic Committee. And Kirsten, the Olympic Games, of course, they're held in a home country and maybe versing a neutral or centralised venue. What have been the advantages for France and perhaps disadvantages for the visiting countries?
That's a great question.
Yes.
The statistics bear it out every Olympics that the home team punches above its weight in terms of medals won. So there's something to the idea of a home team advantage. And I think what it can provide for the home team is a much more access to all the venues, even though the host country must, by regulation, provide all other countries a chance to compete there. They get more time. They get more time in the venue, get more comfortable with all the things that we were talking about earlier. There's also the advantage of just a pretty intense home crowd, although that is a knife that can cut both ways, because some people find that pressure to be pretty hard. So you see the inverse of that for the visiting countries. They're having to, like Australia would often travel and spend 4 to 6 weeks outside of a home, an away Olympics, just acclimating to the climate, acclimating to the time zone in a way that the home team doesn't have to do. And then there's all the other things. The inverse of the home team advantage would be perhaps a hostile crowd, perhaps customs they're not used to. So there's a little bit more to get used to for the visiting team.
Yes, that certainly does appear to be the case. As you said, the host country punching above its weight, and I think that's very true of France at the moment. They're doing exceptionally well, which leads us on to Brisbane 2032, which is only 8 years away, Kirsten. So... How soon?
A blink of the eye.
A blink of the eye. Yeah. So how soon will our teams be getting ready in terms of their goals, their targets, their training programs, their mental focus? It goes on and on. What will happen?
Well, I would be not looking forward too fast. I think there is a disadvantage to getting so far ahead of yourself that you're not keeping your eye on the prize that's happening right now, which might be training, might be the Olympics between here and there. So it would not be something that we would be focusing on until that quadrennium rolls around, meaning the 4-year period. And then because the other piece is, I don't know when venues are going to be completed. So, you know, the idea of when can we get in there and actually acclimate to the very things I was talking about with Paris. But if you could look at it from the perspective of, wow, that's 8 years. And that can be a lifetime for some athletes. And there are, I'm sure, a fair few athletes who are writing themselves right out of that script because it is too far away. They'll be too old for the games. But there will be people who are absolutely having it on their, you know, the radar to be thinking about what that could mean, because that's, a glorious place for Australia to really shine.
It certainly will be. And Kirsten, I know we've seen some incredible athletes at the top level, but I think two stories that reflect the dedication, sacrifice and passion required for success, Aussie women's BMX rider Saya Sakabira and American gymnast Simone Biles, they've both overcome adversity, injury and self-doubt. How good have their performances been?
Yeah. Well, you don't need a sports psychologist to tell you that, right? there is something to be said, because of all the things that I talked about, you know, normalizing the experience, trying to make it as simple and easy as possible, for both of these athletes, that was a pretty monumental task because of each of their backstories. So for people who don't know, and I'm sorry, I'm going to butcher her name, but the BMX rider, her backstory with her brother who had a tremendous accident and is still recovering from a brain injury, coming to these games, was thinking about retiring because she'd had the injuries of herself, her own. And just listening to her talk in her interview after winning the gold about the things she was saying to herself, kind of go against all the things I said to you earlier. Like, she really made it about winning. And it does make me think that there are some sports that are easier to get away with that than others. And I think of BMX as a sport where it is such forward motion, you know, that you can really psych yourself up and it works in your favor. Now, had she been an archer or a shooter or someone who needed to really finesse her sport, that approach might not have worked so well. But you could feel the way she talked about her approach before she got to the start line, that it could have contributed to her just having that much more oomph to stay out ahead of the field throughout the race. Does that make sense?
It certainly does. And, of course, from your point of view as well, a compatriot, American gymnast Simone Biles, say as that was her first gold medal. Simone Biles, I think, has got about 9 or 10 Olympic medals.
Yeah, I don't know. She's going to need a bushel basket.
She certainly has.
Yeah.
She's overcome adversity as well after the Tokyo Olympics.
Yeah, and I don't know if your readers know her backstory. Most of us do, but in the Tokyo Olympics, like many athletes, as it turns out, because of the really strange environment of them happening in during COVID, there isn't the usual hoopla, the usual fans, and so you're competing in a way that is in a vacuum. And for Simone Biles, for example, like, her family didn't come to the games, they stayed back home, and she was very used to having her mother in particular there. And, you know, there were a number of factors that could have led to it, but it led to her developing what they call in gymnastics the twisties, which is a pretty dangerous condition where there's a disconnect in your mind where you lose the ability to feel your body in space. And as you can imagine, if you've ever seen her or any gymnast perform, when they're throwing themselves in the air and doing amazingly complex movements and then having to land on their feet, to lose the ability to feel your body in space is not just disconcerting, but downright dangerous. And so at the time, Simone did the most courageous thing, which was to take care of herself and withdraw from the competition, which did not land well with a lot of, social media. So she took a hit for the courage of that decision for people who felt like she was weak and no champion ever quits kind of thing, which I'd have a lot to say about that idea being really outmoded in what we understand elite sport to be these days, but nevertheless. And then her story about her comeback wasn't just that she slept a couple of nights and it went away. It took her years to regain her confidence and did a lot of falling in the meantime to have to relearn the ability to feel her body in the air. And she had contemplated retiring, but decided to stick it out for another Olympics. So it speaks to her monumental perseverance to come back and come back and excel at the top of her game again. You know, so a pretty amazing story.
Well and truly. Well, Dr. Kirsten Peterson, many thanks for being available to chat with us about the Olympic Games from behind the scenes and what it means for all those involved, and look forward to catching up with you in the future. Those were some fantastic insights. Thank you so much, Dr. Kirsten Peterson.
Gordon, can I finish with one little
you
thing?
You certainly can.
I guess I would encourage your readers, your listeners, to reflect on each of your own high performance moments, and what are some of the wisdom that you're hearing as you listen to athletes talk about how they cope. There's so many lessons for the rest of us. So much of this is transferable. And I know in my work in business, for example, with leaders and teams, it is also about how do I hold those truths to be self-evident that I can perform while knowing the event is important. So while it's not the Olympics, I just want to encourage people to not see this as something you can't ever do, but that these skills are available to everybody.
Very sound words of advice. Once again, Dr. Kirsten Peterson, thank you so much for being available to chat, and all the best in the future.
You too, Gordon. I appreciate it.
Cheers.